All right, good morning, everybody. It is Friday. Yes, indeed. You made it to the end of the week, and aren't you clever? Aren't you a clever little... Oh, you're so clever. All right, so I was very annoyed. Wednesday after the show, I started coughing and spluttering and like blowing my nose every 5 minutes, which is so disgusting. How does your head produce so much snot? How does that happen? You know how much water you have to drink to produce that much snot? It's disgusting. Anyway, so I hadn't been sick the whole way through winter. So I was kind of a little bit proud of myself. And I think, you know, pride comes before the fall. So obviously something in the air, whether it's just dust or pollen or whatever the fuck else it was, knocked me down. And I was useless yesterday. I was like walking around like a 900-year-old man, just creaking and moaning and complaining. And I mean, even the dog looked at me like, you're pathetic. So I made it through. We're here. I was not going to miss a show. I don't let people down. Even better than that, I have this morning a firm favorite. The last time she was on the show, people went insane. There were enormous numbers of downloads all over the world, mostly by perverted old men. But she's back because we like pleasing our audience, even if they are that category of person. She is none other than our award-winning actress and star of many, many shows, TV shows, movies, commercials. And we were just talking about it now. I last saw her this week on a commercial for Absa. She is the beautiful face and the extremely exciting personality of Shamila Miller.
Woo-hoo! Look at that. Oh my God, what an intro.
Do you like your new vibe here?
Oh, this is me. Hey.
No, you take up the whole sofa.
Stretch out. I like the
background. Yeah.
Club.
Looks good with you.
I know.
In fact, I would venture to say that this is the best our studio's looked since you
walked. It is distracting having to watch myself on the screen over there.
Well, you know, we got to keep changing things. I'm actually a little bit worried this morning because one of our producers, Flex, who's actually he takes control of. There he is. Just show him quickly. There he is. Go to the.
Flexi.
There he is. So that's Flex. See, he is here to make sure that we actually can hear each other and see each other and that the audience can like tell what's going on. And what are you doing? And he's got to leave at 6:30, and I'm worried because he's going off to do a shoot for us. Yeah, it's going
no
to.
To the rest
with James and Wendy in the control box, we've got big problems. So,
oh dear.
Well, so what's happening, Miller?
You know, a bit of this, bit of that.
When we last checked in on you, you were on your way to Canada for some big awards show for a movie you'd been in.
Yeah, The Umbrella Man.
That's right.
And it was the second one that went up to Canada for the Toronto Film Festival.
And?
It was great, but we actually weren't in competition for that film.
Oh, was it just being shown there?
It was being shown there, so we had been invited, but they're not actually in competition. But it was, like, the cinema was sold out, got a standing ovation. I feel like the Canadians they love our movies and our stories. So it did really, really well. And it was fun.
Did you do the whole red carpet thing?
Obviously, that was the thing. Yeah.
Well,
all
done.
The vibes. Thanks. Yeah.
Okay. So today we're going to get Ben in later on, do a little bit of sport. We are going to check in on some of the stuff that's going on in the news. And we're going to get into some of the things that Shamila wants to talk about, but you can join us in the comment section, which is always lively and full of shit. That is how it's going to be today, I have no doubt. And you know how to do that. Just hop on the YouTubes if you haven't already subscribed and liked and put that little notifications thing on.
Like
and
subscribe.
So you still listen to us?
Yeah, of course I do.
Okay, great. Shamila said that she had a little bit of a struggle when we went to 3 days a week.
I didn't like it.
Wake up on a Tuesday and now you found something else to fill that time. So.
I did, but it's also just like, it's not this. Like, this was my morning routine. Well, this is my morning routine. I'm like, I get a bit of jibber jabber. I get the highlights of the news. And yeah, it just like fills my morning well.
We pride ourselves on the jibber jabber.
On the jibber. I'm here for the jibber jabber.
If anybody asks, like, what do you guys do on the show? What's your like unique selling point?
Yeah.
How do you brand what you do? I go, well, it's the jibber jabber.
It's the jibber jabber, babe.
Because really without that, it's very pale and insignificant and it's very disappointing.
Boring.
But the jibber jabber,
that's our thing. And James was like, well, is there anything you want to talk about? And I was like, I'm just going to come and shoot the breeze, really.
There we go.
And I was like,
and shooting the breeze is our second. So you've really worked the show out.
Listen, yeah. I know. Jibber jabber, then shooting the breeze. I know what the audience wants.
And then talking shit.
Yes.
It's the third one.
Yes.
That's our trifecta of glory. That's how we know we're doing a great show. All right. So this is probably the most irritating thing I'm going to say to anybody this morning. But December is coming up and everybody's going to start making plans for this. And I know people get very excited. And then all of a sudden, December is upon you. You've made no plans. And it's a bloody disaster because things are expensive. If you haven't planned it properly, you end up just doing whatever everyone else is doing. And it's like last minute and you end up like, I don't know, in bad accommodation, if any. You have to ask someone if you can sleep on their floor.
Oh my God.
That's not good, right? So I'm past that. I'd rather just be at home.
What are you doing for December?
I don't know yet. I haven't thought about it. Someone asked me the other day, what are we doing for New Year?
And you're like, babe, it's September. It's October. I promise you.
She said to me like, what shall we do for New Year? And I felt this cold, you know, like when you have circulation problems.
Yeah.
I was like, I don't want to think about December.
Yeah.
But it is just around the corner because when you look at the calendar, it doesn't just stop in December. Like in my head, there's always this gap between Christmas and New Year, which seems to go on forever.
Yeah,
it's like
nobody
really knows what the date is.
Mm. Or day.
The day. You don't know where you are.
No, sunrise and sunset. Those are the times.
Yeah, but it could be the 26th, 28th. You don't know.
Like yeah.
Those last few days of December are just like a dark hole that everything falls into.
It's great.
But as a result, when you get to the first, you're like, oh, shit, hang on. No, it's
life. Oh,
and it'll
oh.
be 2025.
So that boggles me because I don't know what happened to this year.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, I thought last year went fast, but this year I didn't even notice it happening.
It's insane.
To be honest with you.
I haven't even seen you that much this year. So we've got a lot of mutual friends.
Yeah.
And we're friends.
Yeah.
It's fair to say, you know. but we've got these friends and one of them is actually getting married this month.
Yes, next week.
And aren't you in the bride's party thing?
No. I was at the bachelorette, but I'm not like a bridesmaid or anything.
Oh, okay.
Which is quite
she's got
nice
like 10. That,
she's got quite a few.
So you didn't even make that cut?
No, she's got like 5. But yeah, no, being a bridesmaid is stressful though. So
I'm okay. More than 10 and you're not in it.
Listen, she's got 5, I'm pretty sure. So I think she, or maybe 6. So I'm sure I would have been top 10, but she stopped.
You also got yourself a boyfriend. How's that changed your life?
I do have a boyfriend. You know what? I've been single for so long. And I mean, you've known me for a long time. I'm like addicted to being single. So that was a great time of my life. And then this is just a new transition.
I think it's cool.
And I'm enjoying it a lot.
Yeah.
Just like, you know, learning how to be with a partner and, you know, the considerations that go with that and the fun and adventure. I'm having a good time.
I'm excited for you.
Yeah,
I think this is good.
It's nice.
I also think it's good that you are not just doing
on the streets
freewheeling.
Anymore.
Yeah. Freewheeling out there causing trouble. I mean, it's very bad. It's
yeah,
bad. It's not a good look. You
I
know?
Did cause a lot of trouble. but now I'm bait up.
I love it.
Bait up. So
all right,
that's
so
nice.
I've got a couple of funny things here. I mean, we've got lots of people in the comments section who always got they've got plenty to say about everything. So let me just get this going.
Yeah.
And we will also I've got a couple of clips that I want you to see as well.
Love it.
For this morning. There's always some funny stuff slipping around. Just take a punnet of magic mushrooms, go camping, and the days blend seamlessly, says Slippery Pickle.
I mean, it's not a bad idea.
Although,
like, magic mushrooms.
I don't know if I'd want to do that while I'm camping.
Oh, it is. It's better outside. Like, you don't want to do mushrooms anywhere inside.
No, but if you're camping?
Yeah.
No.
But you must be careful with mushrooms because they're teachers. They're medicine. So,
yes.
Like.
Yeah, yeah. That's why I'm saying I don't want to be learning stuff while I'm in a tent.
fair enough.
You know what I mean? okay, so let's just have a look here. James, fix the screen and we'll forgive you for your car today only. Actually, I have an update on this. James doesn't have to be embarrassed about his car. If you saw my car this morning, you would be horrified because there was that little bit of rain.
Oh, and it makes things so dirty.
And yeah, the car's a dark color. So it just looks like a leopard, but not in a good way.
Ew. Oh, like, I think I parked next to you this morning.
Yeah, like little raindrops of, but it's brown.
Ew.
On this sort of dark
Yeah, my color. Car is silver, so I'm like, not, I'm
yeah,
fine.
Yeah, you're okay.
Yeah.
But it looks shit. So, James, you're not the only one with a dirty car today. Yay. How lucky are you? Okay. Let's just see here. Work for 300 days, live for 56 days off. Sad. You get 56 days off?
Yeah, that sounds like a lot.
I think you get 20 at any company that I know.
Maybe he's a freelancer like me, because I'm
holy hell.
Pretty sure I have that many, if not more, days off.
That's incredible. So Mapello's got tickets for a festival in December. Okay, that sounds good. I mean, okay. Those can be fun.
Yeah.
I did a charity golf day on Wednesday. I didn't play golf. Can you imagine me playing golf?
I absolutely could not.
So it was for, we raised some money for the Smile Foundation, which is a terrific organization. They help kids who are born with like facial deformities.
Yeah.
And they help them to be able to smile. So if they have a cleft palate or whatever, they're always self-conscious, so they don't smile. And they do it all for free. And they raise all the money they can to help as many kids as they can. They have helped, I think it's 15,000 kids at this point. It's an enormous number
That's
of kids.
A lot. And yeah.
And it was all started by a really thoroughly decent, amazing human being, a guy called Mark Lubner. Years ago, he and Nelson Mandela, actually, back in the 90s, they decided, because a mom wrote to Madiba and said, listen, my kid was born with this thing, can't smile, he's now going to school, I don't want him to grow up being super self-conscious about this. Smiling is such an important part of human interaction.
Yeah, it's the first thing you see.
And we've got to help him. And then Mandela and Lubner got together and started the Smile Foundation, and it's been going ever since. I remember I went to go and see their facilities at the Charlotte Maxeke Hospital, used to be Joburg Gen at the time they started it, and it's awesome. They do great stuff.
It's amazing.
But I was with those guys who actually organize a festival here in Joburg, which I think you and I have both been to once or twice. That it's a personal one.
Oh yeah, I think I've been to everyone.
So Andrew Smart and those guys organized this golf day to raise money. It's
that's
very
so
cool.
Special.
Yeah. Yeah, so everybody thinks like, you know, these festival people, they're just partying.
Yeah.
They actually have a conscience. They're good people.
They give back to the community.
They're nice people.
Oh, you know what? I feel good being a part of that now.
Yes.
Because you know me, I'm a festival brat. Yeah. I love it. The festival, It's Personal, was on my birthday this year. Yes. And I was like, oh God, thank you for throwing me the party. But no, good to know.
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like I'm involved with that now indirectly.
Congo Chris says, it looks like a pterodactyl took a dump on my bonnet because it's so dirty. I sometimes park my car inside and sometimes I don't. And if I don't, I know straight away the next morning, because it's always like, why do the birds...
They aim. Like,
it's spiteful.
Yeah.
They're actually spiteful. They like, they fly over. It's doves or whatever. They fly over and they check it out, and then they come back a second time and they're like, unleash at just the right moment.
It's have disgusting. You ever had like Haagen-Dazs shit?
Oh my God.
It is.
And it eats the paint.
It does. But it's also huge. It's like this big. Yeah. It just like splatters. And I'm like,
those things must have an asshole this big.
It just opens up.
All right. So if you live somewhere on a dirt road, says Bitcoin, but you can wash your car whenever, the rain will come and then it looks like James's car. That's true. Mm-hmm. What about relocating those kids to a place where smiling is frowned upon, like Russia or Bulgaria, where I was recently? Yes, but that's a lot more expensive when you can actually help them and they can live here in this country.
Yeah, and also it's like cold there, no?
And be happy. And how about happy. That? It's a terrible idea, slippery pickle. You don't like that idea at all. Okay, I got a couple of things to show you this morning. First and foremost, if you are feeling like you work all the time to buy stuff, to pay for things, it's getting you down. You woke up this morning, you're like, what is it all for? I need to be shown a new way. I need to be given permission to not work so hard. And I know the people who listen to the show, people in South Africa generally, we work very hard, hardworking people. And now at this time of the year, you're tired. You need a break. So I found this very inspirational video. It's meant to be from a kid's show, but I don't know how they could have shown this on a kid's show.
God, I'm interested. Okay?
First of all, the creature in question is called Stinky.
Okay.
And he lives in a trash can.
Okay.
And he looks very disturbing. Stinky. No, but he looks disturbing as hell to me.
Yeah.
And then he raps a song. But I don't know that I'd want, if I had a kid, my kid to get instruction here. For adults, cool. But if you are raising a child and this is the kind of instructional material you give them, you're in big shit. So have you got this one? I sent it to you this morning, James. All right, so here's Stinky. Take a look. Tell me if this inspires you or if you also think, whoa, they can't put that on a kid's TV show. Okay. Take a look. We need sound on this.
Don't give up, Stinky. My dad says, if you never give up and work hard, all your dreams will come true.
That's the gayest shit I ever heard.
What?
I don't believe your pappy. May be rich, but he ain't happy. Tells you about working, you want to be him. But when's the last time you got to see him? He works hard. Why? So you can go out and buy a bunch of shit that you don't need, driven by your punk ass hopes and greed. That's why I say, fuck it. For the first time in my life, I'm finally free. No mansion for me. I said, fuck it. No brand new Humvee. I say, fuck it.
But you'll get no pussy.
Fuck it. You don't understand. Is I make love to my hand. So I don't need you, honey. I beat my dick like it owes me money. Fuck it. That's
oh, okay. So I don't
beat my dick like it owes me money.
So you, it's very good. But do you want kids?
No.
Learning from
why are the children in the video?
I don't know. I feel very bad about those children. I feel like that was kind of under duress. Maybe the parents should be investigated.
I think so. Where did they? Yeah.
But what's up with Stinky? He lives in a trash can. He's got like spaniel ears and an antenna on his head.
Are those ears or is that his like weave?
I don't know. Stinky is a very weird looking chap.
He's very weird.
And it does look like he has a cold sore on his lip.
Oh my God, he's got herpes?
I think so. And that's why I say fuck it.
Okay, well, good to know.
So, yeah.
It gives you that oomph you need for the rest of the year because you want to buy shit, right?
And I feel like, you know, if someone starts a conversation with you and they go, I don't believe your pappy. He may be rich, but he ain't happy.
And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, probably.
I feel it.
That's probably right. So I keep that on my phone. Those days where you're just like, you're not doing well. You feel like you're not having the greatest time.
Yeah.
You got bills arriving. You're paying for stupid shit like insurance. You're like, why? That's when you got to say, fuck it.
Fuck it.
Okay. And you can beat your dick like it owes you money.
You can line that stuck with me. You can beat your dick like it owes you money. And I'm like, how
not great?
Hungry are you?
I love it.
No, that's wild. Have you heard that song that the AI, it was supposed to be like a kid's song? But like AI invented.
Uh-oh.
And it's like this girl's voice. It sounds like a girl band. And it's like super happy. Like, you don't need a man. Da, 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 da. But what you need. And then it goes to the chorus. And it's like one vape, two lines of Coke, three something,
oh,
something. Four.
Jesus.
It is. And it was like an AI generated song. But the song slaps. It's like.
I'm sure it's great. Yeah. It's but it's a, like, completely. Because AI doesn't have. An inbuilt kind of, this is inappropriate
a moral
for children.
Thing. No,
yeah,
it just, it like takes information.
And it looks at what kids want.
Yeah, yeah.
And they probably do want like
and the number one was like one, so it goes up to 10 and it's like, da, da, da. And then I think number four was like, four more lines of Coke.
Oh,
like,
Jesus.
It's wild.
Again, like you imagine you're a parent and you're like, oh, my kid's listening to this really cool song.
Yeah. Because
you said it sounds amazing.
It sounds like a teenage like sung by a teenager.
Is it like K-poppy?
It's kind of, yeah, it's like teenagey K-poppy, and then it gets to the chorus and you're like, oh wait, what are we doing?
Okay, we gotta find that.
No, you have to find it, James. It is hilarious.
Okay, that sounds amazing. Except, obviously, again, you don't want the kids to
listen to it, but
it's bad enough because all their friends are already offering them vapes. Listen, this vaping thing is bad.
Can I tell you something about vaping? I did a movie last year. And it was just like me and my co-star and between setups. So he was like sponsored by this vape company at the time. And so he arrived to set with this box of like all these different vapes. And so, like, in between setups, like, you know, we try, and I was never a vapor. Try it, whatever. Then I left that job, and I realized I was addicted to vapes.
You're joking, just quick. Like that?
Just like that. And I've never been addicted to cigarettes before, actually anything. And then since then, it's kind of been this year of me, my whole life, I was like, I don't have an addictive personality.
Yeah, I've always said that.
I can pick up things and put down things. This is the first time I've ever been addicted to anything. So much so that now, so I don't buy vapes anymore, but I've taken up smoking cigarettes to get off the vapes.
Oh, shit. No, that's bad. That's going backwards.
No. But I'm like, I'm very much less of a smoker than I am. Like, the vape was a pacifier in my hand. I wouldn't put it down.
Now imagine.
And now I have like 2 cigarettes a day instead of vaping. But I'm literally using the one to get off the other. It's wild.
Now imagine being, I don't know, 14, 15, 16. And this is the thing that everybody at school is doing. Because they are, whether we like it or not, and whether parents are aware of it or not. They're expensive, for starters. We don't know yet what the full health implications might be. I mean, I've heard of this disgusting thing called popcorn lung.
Yeah, popcorn lung, yeah.
Which sounds horrible, appalling. And you know, sometimes when you hear an old emphysema-riddled person, and they go, and then it goes crackle, inside their lungs.
Imagine that happening to a kid.
At 16 or whatever.
No.
It's funny you mentioned the vapes. I honestly am not addicted to them at all. I can pick it up, have a go, and put it down and not even think about it. But when I last saw our mutual friend Robin, I bought her one. Mm. I bought me one on my way to this birthday party. We were spending the weekend with some other friends. And I had it with her. She had hers. I had mine. And we were just smoking them as a thing to do. You know, it's something to almost keep you busy.
It's like social Vaseline.
Right, exactly. Yeah. So we were doing this. And on the Sunday, I threw it away. And I drove back and I flew back to Joburg. And I have not touched one of those things since.
Again.
And that was in July. So I think it's got something. There is definitely a chemical element of it that is addictive.
Yeah.
Like, otherwise people wouldn't
do it.
Well,
also, I think the nicotine content is much higher. And also, it's in your...
Definitely.
You can smoke it anywhere. It's always in your hand.
Yeah.
And it tastes delicious.
Yeah, that's the thing that I think wins the kids over. Because it doesn't smell like cigarettes. Cigarettes smell disgusting.
You're like, ooh, strawberry ice cream?
And they make these incredible flavors. But I don't think they're good for us. I really think in the long run, we're going to discover these things are way worse.
Yeah.
It's chemical, you know?
It's super. And sometimes, like, the liquid will kind of, like, leak onto your lip or something if, like, the vape is faulty.
Burns.
And it's not even, but it burns almost like, no, it's like mentally almost, but it's like, but it's so sweet. And you're like, what is that? Like, what are they
Can't
putting
be good.
In there? It cannot be good.
People, do you know these people who like fill their own vapes up?
Yes.
They have like a whole kit.
Yes.
Okay? And they arrive and they've got a bag with the different liquids
oils,
in it.
Yeah, yeah. And they keep, they constantly like pull it out and they
like
check it.
It's like they, you know, those people who used to test the chlorine in their pool with that funny thing with the different test tubes. And they'd like be pouring drops of this in there. I look at this and I go, this does not look like something you should be putting in your
wild.
Body.
No, I honestly have never understood addiction before.
No,
and this is
bad.
The first time that I'm like, oh, this is what addiction is.
So, I'm so disappointed in you that you've become a cigarette smoker.
Well, no, honestly, it's better because like I'm having way less cigarettes and I'm not like, it was a pacifier in my hand. So I do think it's better.
So Max Sony says, it's that peer pressure shit that causes so much harm. Stop that, kids. I'll continue with my ciggies. Maybe it is. Maybe it's more the fact that everybody's doing it. It's become a thing that people do. So I mean, I don't smoke cigarettes. I hate the smell of cigars.
Well, also don't like cigars.
Terrible, right?
Yeah.
I've never smoked weed ever in my life.
Ooh.
Yeah.
I love a little
bit. But I'll smoke a Hubly and I'll occasionally vape. But it's like it's totally an on and off thing.
Yeah.
I know people who can do that as well.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's because they have an addictive personality, because I also don't know whether that's true. They've done these experiments on mice and rats where they test out whether or not they drink the water with the, you know, the drugs in it.
Yeah.
Or they drink the normal water. And it has more to do with the fact that they
the
are
flavor.
Very no, they if the rats and mice are busy doing stuff, if there are other rats and mice them to socialize with, and they have resources and they're busy doing stuff, building a nest or whatever, then they don't take the drugs. But the moment they're on their own, bored in a cage, they only take the drugs.
Oh, I see.
So I think there's a social element which Max Sony's
also
hitting on.
Yeah, like an entertainment element, right? Like they keep yourself busy.
Correct. And they kind of, that's what gets them. Mapello says, how can you be a busy, fulfilled and happy person and still be addicted to bring nonsense like vapes and cigarettes? Well, don't be all judgy.
Yeah, maybe I'm not fulfilled. I need to fill the void. Okay.
You're not fulfilled.
I'm not fulfilled.
Oh, that's great. All right, check this guy out. Here is a dude. I always love it. Do you remember what was that? Who's that guy? There was that guy who's, it was a woman actually. And there was a fire in the flat and she's like, ain't nobody got time for that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Remember her? So there's this guy who I don't know if he's ever going to be as big because she was there at the right time to have made it an internet sensation. Yeah. And since then, there have been people who've tried to do that, but you can see they've rehearsed it and it's not like
they're that, doing it for the for
that
the
woman
likes.
Was like, that's how she talks.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I ran for my life.
I ran for my life, Jesus. You remember? And she was good at that. So it was like real. So this guy, he also had some incident. He moved to some fancy neighborhood. He's a gay black man.
Mm.
And you can hear in his voice, he has a personality to boot, right?
Okay.
This guy's awesome. So take a look at this video and then you tell me what your thoughts are on this. Because I think he's for real.
Jeremy Scott left for brunch and came home to what he describes as a movie scene.
I'm having to start carrying my pistol. If we're in the Wild Wild West, somebody need to let me know.
Crime scene tape, dozens of police units, investigators everywhere, all before 2 in the afternoon.
This is broad daylight on a Sunday. I just moved in here, so I'm wondering if I picked the wrong place.
The victim, I...
I feel like I was clutching my pearls that entire...
love him.
I feel like I'm moving to the wrong place.
I feel like I'm moving the wrong place. And he's for real. Hello, Ben.
Hi, hey, Ben. Guys.
Hi.
I loved the On the Bounce show yesterday.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, it was a lot of fun.
You met Shamila.
Yes.
Last time I was here, it was
last time at
Friday.
The old place.
Yes, right.
And exactly. Your dog was in the car.
Yeah.
Oh, that's right. You left your dog to suffocate in the car.
I mean, I did crack a window. Crack.
Well, I mean, the security guard was very anti-dog-like.
That's
yeah,
true.
He wouldn't let the dog in. And I'm like, she's so chill. And he was like, no.
I love the show
far,
yesterday.
Far worse than being in Gareth Studios anyway.
So Ben had his dad on the show yesterday. They talked football, which was awesome. And Ben and Sandile did their usual thing. But Ben's dad was there and he brought memorabilia from his days as a kid.
I mean, obviously, because he's a 70-something man.
Yeah.
So he would like goes deep on that stuff.
Yeah.
It was really cool hearing his stories that some of them I've actually never heard before. Of how football used to be so rough back in the
Jesus,
day. Like rough.
Your dad was saying, and you've got to watch the whole episode because it was worth, like it's an hour long, but it is awesome. Go and check that out on the Bounce. But I was watching it and your dad was talking about how people used to throw nails at each other.
What do you mean nails?
As in like hammer and nails.
Long nails,
At British football matches, there was so much violence. That's why they have seats.
Yeah,
I didn't realize this, but stadiums.
They had to put seats in.
They used to call them, they used to say, we're on the terraces, right? And we'd stand on the terraces and support our team, right? And these guys were so violent that that's why we have stadium seating now.
Because they throw things.
Because unless they were sitting in a place and you could identify where they were and who was misbehaving and evict them, they would like just stand in crowds and like abuse each other physically. And they'd throw like handfuls of nails.
Yeah, super rough. Like broken bottles.
And people say the English are sophisticated. And civilized people, they are not.
No, but the footballers are a different breed of people, right?
But that was hooliganism in its absolute prime because you could group them all together and then there would be like hornets. They would just go at anything.
And they're drinking and they've...
Hard drinking. But from like 14 onwards, I'd imagine. They all just come from the mine as well. So they're covered in soot and just rowdy.
Absolutely. Oh my word.
So here's an interesting graph someone has put together, and this links to South Africa and our sports predilections and how people develop feelings of power. This is how it works. Take a look at this graph. Okay. You've got feelings of power. What gives people a feeling of power? And this goes for Loftus on a Saturday when there's a match there.
Oh, absolutely.
Okay. More than almost anywhere else, but take a look. Money, status, or the brandy special?
So true. Love it.
Yeah, there we go.
It can literally change your life.
Do people still drink brandy and Coke? Yes, that's a big thing. I feel like. Kidding?
What do you do in your life that there is a question that's come out of your mouth?
So Shamila's too sophisticated for that because she spends half her time in Joburg and half her time in Cape Town. She doesn't go to places like Bloem or Pretoria.
I think I've been to Pretoria twice, both for shoots.
You've been to my house.
Have you never been?
Oh, yes, you do.
But you never drank brandy.
Listen, I don't also, you know what it is? I don't drink mixes and I never really have. So if I drink spirits, I'm drinking it neat.
Yeah.
And I don't know if you're drinking brandy neat. It goes with Coca-Cola. No,
good right? ones, yeah. Bad. But have you never been to a bar and said, can I get a brandy and Coke, please?
No, listen.
Have you ever used those words?
I grew up in Gordon's Bay, right? And so when I was like 16 and starting to go clubbing, our town was Stellenbosch.
Right.
And we used to go to a place called All Stars.
Then you should know.
And so brandy. A double brandy and Coke. Back in the day, I kid you not, was R6.
Wow. And you're not even that old.
And
six runs.
It was R6. And so
six whole runs.
So like you could leave a tip and still get R2 change for a double brandy and Coke.
At
a place called All Stars in Stellenbosch. So when I was a teenager, yes, I did drink brandy and Coke. Yeah. So I do know.
So brandy and Coke is a time and a place. Like I also don't drink mixes. It's the Coke that I don't want to be in Iran.
Exactly.
And then Coke got together, obviously because of South African brandy consumption. They said, guys, we need a proper Coke Zero. The guys in Atlanta got together and said, look, these folks are drinking brandy and Cokes flat out.
Yeah.
But the diabetes is going through the roof. So I think that's how made brandy and Coke almost more sophisticated.
Okay.
You go to a place and you can order double brandy, Coke Zero, whatever. I drank brandy on Saturday, actually. Quite hard.
Where were you?
Sure.
You put out.
No, not really. Like a friend of mine was here from Cape Town and he believes the best drink you can have is double brandy, but it's got to be Clip Drift Premium though, because the other stuff is just a bit too simplistic.
Well, that's also the sponsor of your show. So convenient for you to slip that in there.
Completely unplanned, but yes. So Clip Drift Premium, and then you go the Coke Zero, and then you go soda water. And that's how you play it.
Okay.
Shout out, Nick. That's clever. Yeah,
okay.
And that's what he thinks is the ultimate drink. So we got stuck into those. I went for one beer. I haven't seen him in a while. And he's like, no, we have some brandies. Because I wanted to watch the Stormers game. The Stormers game was on the TV.
Nick French.
Yeah.
What a lunatic.
Oh, I know Nick French.
Everyone knows Nick French.
Yeah. He's a nutcase. But he's trying to reposition himself now as like a
Like a
private citizen who's trying to help the Minister of Sport along. And they are, with all due respect, they are doing incredible stuff. And, you know, they're helping Gayton to just shoot the lights out as Minister of Sport, which is awesome. Mm-hmm. So, but Nick is very, very clever. And I don't doubt that he's like serious when he's in business mode. But I'm usually with Nick. I went to a wedding with him 2 years ago and
disaster. Yeah, I also only know him from like back in the day, Cape Town streets.
Yes.
R6 brandy and Coke.
Exactly.
Yeah, so we're drinking that. So it was actually really nice. And you don't feel too bad because it's all about the hydration thing, right? That's why when you drink spirits and you got soda water or water, it's a decent play. But it's when
What's the ratio with soda water? Like 50-50?
Yeah, you try to go 50-50 on the mix.
Yeah.
But the other guys are with drinking Jaeger bombs. Like people still drink Jaeger bombs.
Jesus, that's so bad. Embarrassing. Guess who we've got on the show on Monday?
Is it linked to Jaeger bombs?
This will be fun. No, so what you've given me like PTSD because there was a very famous South African by all accounts who used to his drink of choice and he used to hand them out liberally was Jack Daniel's
suitcase.
Darren Scott. Darren's coming in.
You see, Darren's suitcase.
There's the association game working in real time.
Perfect. He's also drained some Jaeger bombs.
Darren Scott's coming to join us on Monday. I haven't seen Darren in ages. He's been in America. He's been back. He's doing a radio show on one of these stations.
That Oak's lived a life.
Yeah. He's lived an incredible life, and he's coming in to sit with us on Monday. But every time I see Darren, I get the smell of those. What's that? Cordial that they use
passion
in the suitcase.
Fruit cordial.
Passion fruit cordial.
See, again, that's the worst part of the suitcase.
Yeah,
is that
sugar?
Yeah, it's that sugary crap.
Ugh. See, when Miller and I are at parties, we drink just tequila.
That's the
and then in between you'll have water or Coke Zero or whatever.
Or if I'm not drinking straight tequila, then I'll add like sparkling water. With
you do
some
those
fresh lime.
Skinny bitches. And
well,
those,
it's a skinny slut actually.
Oh, is that what it's called?
Because skinny bitch is the vodka one.
Oh.
And so the tequila one's the skinny slut.
Okay.
And Nikki actually taught me that on Saturday. And I was like, okay, that's good to know.
Okay. Look, guys, I back you all the way. It's a smart way to drink, but nothing beats a brandy and Coke special at any stage of your life. It just brings. It brings so much together.
Yeah.
It's not just people, it's moods.
I'm going to have a Brandy and Coke, not this weekend, but maybe next.
Obviously, like time and place. I mean, I go to a nice place and go, no, I don't want that. I want a Brandy and Coke.
No,
like,
it's embarrassing. Not like, when it's good tequila.
Okay, so when you're on the road,
we've obviously hit a nerve because people are, they just love talking about drinking because this is a South African thing.
Exactly.
So I just noticed your live views have gone up by about 30% since we said Brandy special.
Congo Chris says, Avante Brandy and new Fitch and Leeds pineapple lemonade. Ooh. Absolute game changer.
I do like Beautiful. Fitch and Leeds.
I mean, yeah, because you've got a pot still brandy with it, us.
Right.
So, people don't understand. Like, all booze is good booze and shit booze. And most booze is a base spirit where they put colorings, all kinds of cuck.
So just cane.
So it's just basically, cane, yes. Exactly. So that's cane. Those that bad six Ron's Brandy and Coke special you had was cane with brown. Basically.
Whereas cane with like a drop of Jägermeister.
With brown. Yeah. So when you have a like brandy, you get a pot still brandy. It's the same as what those cognac people are always talking about. We wouldn't say it's better or worse, but it's the same process.
Cheers, Flex. Flex is leaving, so we might be, if there are any technical issues from here on in, then you know it's because Flex is leaving us to go and do this other shoot.
So if you wanted to go super brandy, you go to like the nice brandy, and it's even better.
Get the premium stuff.
It's like, there's levels to everything.
Fair enough. I was 16, and so 6 Rand Brandy and Coke's.
Yeah, I mean, when you're 16, and I wouldn't advocate starting then. I started a little bit later. I was a total turbo nerd until probably 18, 19.
You've got to start at 60 because you've got to get your first couple of vomits under the belt.
Exactly.
And that's when you know what you...
You can't be vomiting in like the big clubs at 18.
No, okay. You can't be vomiting at like...
You can't be messy in the girlfriend's clubs at parents. 18.
No,
I got to say here, Nico says, people are clearly lists for the weekend. Been talking about booze for the last 10 minutes.
Oh, shit.
That's a problem, man.
You know, I went through this phase where I wasn't drinking. I was super healthy and all that kind of stuff. And it was a good phase of my life.
Boring as hell.
Oh, maybe as hell's a bit strong.
But. Okay. Here's the problem I had. So remember at the beginning of this year, I also stopped drinking.
Yeah.
For 3 months, I think it was.
And you were the same to me.
It was fine. It wasn't difficult. I didn't find it like hard to... you know, come off the booze or whatever, because I don't think about drinking from Monday to Friday anyway. I really don't. I don't. It's the last thing I want to do.
Yeah,
there's always booze in the house, but I'm not interested.
Also, my house is filled with booze. I drink sparkling water.
I don't doubt it.
Yeah. I never drink at home.
But the problem is, and I think we talked about this just last week, is that if you're the sober person at a party, everyone else is drunk, it is excruciating. Because it's drunk awful. People tell you the same story.
And they spit. They come close to you and spit in your face.
They tell you the same. It makes me wonder if I'm like that when I'm drunk.
Probably.
And then they tell you the same thing over and over again. And you know, if you're drunk, you laugh every time because you're like, I remember this. I remember this
you're
story.
You're like, yes, it happened 5 minutes ago.
But if you're sober, it's like, I know, I've heard this. It's not funny the third time and the fourth time and the fifth time. And by the sixth time, you want to like, just get out of there. Mm-hmm. So you actually look at your watch and you're like, is it socially inappropriate for me to leave at 9 when you're sober?
You would never ask the question. That. I just did
yeah,
it.
Yeah, you just
yeah, I just left. You asked the question still.
It's a hell of a thing. I mean, that is the reason that it is impossible in South Africa to not drink because otherwise you will not have a social life.
No, absolutely not. Well, I mean, you don't smoke weed. So sometimes, you know, you just have a puff or two and it kind of like it softens everything.
Not my vibe.
But otherwise, also, like, drunk people are awful.
They're rough.
They're so annoying.
Nico says intelligent people tend to drink more to entertain themselves. Do you have any evidence to back that up? Because I know a lot of really dumb people who drink lots too.
So yeah.
I don't really think that your drinking is any indication of anything else. I know hugely successful people who either do or don't drink at all.
Mm.
They're like teetotalers or they like puza.
Yeah.
Ningi on a weekend. And I don't think it has anything to do with intelligence or fitness, by the way. One of my mates is like super fit. He's like unbelievably fit and like in immaculate shape. And that guy can drink, but during the week he doesn't. And he's like very, very focused, disciplined.
It's all about the balance.
I think so.
Yeah. But also be inspired by what your balance is. Like if you've got nothing going on the next day in your life all the time, you're going to get hammered.
Yeah, you've got things to
do.
Because it's an escape.
Yeah.
You're trying to get away
from something. Also, because you can be hungover. You're not going to like fuck up anything by being hungover.
Do you think, I mean, now that you're in a relationship, if your partner is not a drinker and you do on weekends, do you think that puts pressure on?
It depends on like what the reason is for not drinking. Do you know what I mean? Like if your partner's like a recovering alcoholic,
yes.
But if your partner just doesn't drink, then I'm sure that's fine.
If your
fine.
Partner's a recovering alcoholic and you are thing, right? like hitting it,
and all of your social choices are brandy special outlets. We're going there. It's really nice. I like the music.
Oh, that's horrible.
I think that it is difficult. Yeah.
Donald Trump doesn't drink, says Pumlani, which is quite right. So I heard this funny story. He's been doing a lot of interviews this week, and I've been trying to just kind of keep tabs on what's going on in the American election because I am fascinated by it. And people who say that they don't care about it don't realize that everything that happens in America affects us.
Yeah.
In some way, right?
Down, yeah.
This is interview
and
that
also
he did.
It's a shit show. It's great to watch. Oh,
isn't it?
It's amazing.
So he was in this interview and he spoke about the interviewer asked him, I can't remember who the guy is or I'd give him credit, but he's like, he was told a story by Don Jr. about how at Trump Towers one
that was Andrew
New
Schultz
year,
podcast.
Andrew Schultz, yeah. Thank you. He said Don Jr. said to him that once he had a New Year's party, he said to Donald Trump, he said, Dad, can I invite 5 people and we're going to have a party on the roof? And he said, sure, you can have the party. I'm not going to be here. And so he invited 200 people. And then they had this massive party on the roof. And Donald Trump happened to have come back for some reason to town. And he heard this noise on the roof. And he apparently never discussed it with Don Jr. ever again. But Don Jr. ended up cleaning up for like 36 hours. He was just picking stuff up, tidying up, repairing, making it right. And he said his dad never spoke about it ever after that. They've never had a conversation about it. And yeah. It's so weird to me, like that almost commends Donald Trump to me more than anything he said politically.
Yeah.
Because you're like, that's a cool dad. He's like, you know, you fucked up. Yeah. I don't have to say it.
Yeah.
You did the right thing. You cleaned up. You apologized. But we just move on. I'm never going to bring it up again.
Yeah. Because you know.
You know, right?
And also, I'm disappointed and you know.
Exactly.
And you're not going to do
it. I just love that story.
But yeah. he probably kicked everyone out because there wasn't enough hot chicks as well. Probably looked around and was like, it's not good.
I don't see enough Eastern European women.
Not one Eastern European.
How did I raise you? Anyway, very good. How Kamala and Trump the two best choices for president? Durban Dope's just woken up to that fact. Well, the campaign drink responsibly is the biggest load of bullshit. Show me one person who drinks not to get drunk.
I feel like you can... Oh, yeah, no, true.
I think drink responsibly means don't wake up and drink. There's a few low-hanging fruits on this campaign.
But there's some places where I know we had a conversation with Dumi Morake on Wednesday about this. Because
she's a big drinker.
Hilarious. No, well, she's got this totally left-field idea that actually they shouldn't be testing for drunk driving. She says because some people's ability to drive
is better when
they're drunk than when they're sober.
Well,
she's got
so
a whole
focused.
Yeah. She's no, got a. You bullshit. Must go watch that episode. She's like got a completely different theory on things. But there are occasions where you feel like you don't need to overdo it. So if you're at a fancy cocktail party, you're not going to go and like
get
the shots, like you know, 20 fucking shots in, and like when there's some person making a speech or something. That's number one. Number two is if you go for a fancy dinner. You might, I don't normally drink wine, but at that sort of thing, I'll drink wine, but I'm not going to go like pour another one I've had 3.
I feel like because I mean, I enjoy a alcoholic beverage, but I often, unless we're like drinking all day, like because it's an event, it's a birthday party or it's a festival or something, like I often don't get drunk. I'll get tipsy and happy. And then I go home and that's kind of like where it ends.
Sometimes when you cross that line too drunk, it becomes unfun.
Yeah. But also once I cross that line, I'm very quick to call my Uber because I'm like, I don't want to be outside in this condition.
Of course not.
You know what I mean? I'm like, I'm going home.
But at any age, sloppy drunk's really shitty. But the older you get, the less sloppy drunk's around. So you stand out a lot more. Yeah. It's just embarrassing.
And also as a girl, and I'm probably wearing heels. No, babe, I'm going
it's
home.
Not practical.
Yeah. And it, let's just be fair about this too. Like society's way more judgy about a drunk, sloppy girl than they are about a drunk, sloppy guy.
Totally.
Like you almost expect like guys to be sloppy drunks in South Africa. But girls get a huge amount of judgment from other girls and from guys.
Exactly. And I'm always wearing a cute outfit. And the outfit isn't cute when you're sloppy.
No,
it's not.
You're like brandy down your top or imagine. Whatever.
And when you fall, because girls fall a lot. Like generally they got, they're not as good on the feet and then they got the heels. It's like they were set up for small exactly. giraffeness.
No.
Uber Bitcoin Colt. Butt says, I'd rather smoke my J and be safe and happy. Okay, like you it? Got yeah. your thing.
It then, is a good, like, you don't get hungover, so you don't have, like, that drinking issue, but you're still on a vibe.
I feel like we need to get to some sport, because we've been talking about puzzle the whole time. Oh, yeah, because that goes well time. With
drinking. I've been speaking it's about bad, it for right? a while.
It's bad, you can tell.
Back to
we're not even the biggest drinkers. We're the biggest drinkers.
What do we got, Ben?
So we got a month to the Springboks, Gareth. So it's a bit of a letdown here, because everyone says, yeah, the sports, everything's so great, but the Springboks are here and everything else is a bit like here.
Yeah.
Because like, where do you point your brandy at? You don't just point it at some random thing on the TV, but the box are on there, then it makes more sense.
Yeah, yeah.
So there's, yeah, exactly like 31
they're
days.
They're so undefeated that it's like.
Well, we've got a team that can defeat anybody. We have lost twice this year, but I wouldn't draw too much into those defeats because Ireland were lucky and we were sloppy, not sloppy drunk, but sloppy. And then Argentina lost. Well, we didn't have our best team. Mm. And it was away. It was in Santiago. We wanted to win in Mombela. So the URC is still on, though. So the URC is huge. You get these naysayers, basically, who are just bitter that South Africa are very good at rugby. And the travel schedule saying the URC will never work. But every season, it gets stronger and stronger. Last weekend, all four South African sides won. So two were away, two were at home. And it's cool when you see these, like, Celtic Oaks with no tan coming to Ellis Park, getting sunburnt and beaten in the same day. It's actually entertaining. It's really cool. They do the same at Loftus.
Ginger hair.
You get these ginger, you can hear them sizzling. It's brilliant. And by halftime, they are so shattered because and altitude as well. It's really weird. It's like the Hunger Games and these unlucky sods have been put in the rugby test. So everyone's on tour at the moment. The Lions are on tour over there. The Bulls are on tour. The Sharks and Stormers are obviously still there. So tonight we get to see Glasgow versus Zebre, which is the Italian team. And then tomorrow, Cardiff and Scarlets. That'll be the big Welsh derby at 4. Benetton will be taking on the Sharks at 4. Edinburgh versus the Stormers at 6:15. Leinster versus Munster. Those are the two best Irish teams. They'll take on each other at 6:45. And then the Ospreys will be hosting the Bulls. Ulster versus Connacht. And then Sunday, Dragons versus Lions. So much to get into every single weekend now leading up to the BOC test. And these teams are strong. It's not like our Springboks are going to chill. I know some of them just came back from Club Med, but a lot of them are actually in the trenches. And they will be in the trenches until they put on the green and gold again. So that's hugely exciting.
But you've been having a little bit of withdrawal because you didn't have the Springboks.
It's tough. It's tough because, I mean, I love every weekend. Last week, I bet on all the games and I chose 8 out of 8 because, you know, I'm staying in it. But yeah, it's just not the same. There's not the same kind of hiss. All those like casual supporters just don't care about sport anymore.
No.
It's like the Springboks bring everyone to the yard in every single way. And it is so fun. But you got to have the downs, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, obviously the breaks, one of the downs. But like in football, it's endless.
It's like chorus and verse.
Exactly.
A great song. Sometimes the verse is a bit boring, but you're waiting for that chorus.
And I feel like football is just chorus all the time because we have the leagues which we care about. And then they do this international break thing. They now call it the UEFA Nations Cup for all the European teams.
But football is nonstop. It's always on.
It's always on. And as a game, it's so similar because at least when you watch rugby, it's like, okay, that's a set-piece team. Those folks have got exciting backs. Mm-hmm. These guys like a kick chase. And those oaks are cuck. Whereas football, it's like you just kick a ball.
You just run around. Nobody scores.
I know there's nuance in football.
That's wild.
So you're
like, I'm watching this for 90 minutes and no one scored a goal.
Yeah, it's like watching.
Waste of time.
It is a bit rough. And then, yeah, obviously, if your team is quite shit, the international break's actually quite nice because, like, if you're a Man United fan, you're not losing this weekend, which is a real bonus. You get to watch other teams win or lose, and you pick your favorites. So that'll take place for the next 3 days. I'm not going to go through the fixtures because there's about 75, and San Marino is playing. But AFCON qualifies. That's a biggie. So tonight, Bafana will be taking on Congo. Now, these oaks obviously have no travel agents in Congo because they're literally arriving today from the airport. They're somewhat driving to the stadium.
At least they got a plane because before they had to take
tonight.
Yeah, so they're playing today.
It used to be that they would get on an old Land Rover in Lubumbashi and like come all the way down. I mean, at least they got a plane now.
Yeah, so interesting. Like, there's always weird dynamics of African football. And, you know, you speak to the guys who go play in those club games and they go to these places. It's rough.
Yeah.
They don't get the facilities you get here. But these likes are making it quite hard for themselves. So they'll be coming in hot, and they're taking on Bafana tonight. And Bafana are, they should go through on this. Basically, this is a really big game. We win this game, we're sitting pretty.
Okay.
You top your group, you go through.
So we got some stakes.
Yeah.
Okay.
And again, it's with the year that we've had with rugby and all the other sort of big things around the Olympics and the medalists and Drikus winning, Bafana, they need the opportunity to step up.
Yeah, there's an expectation.
That we know the cricketers are going to drop any sort of ball possible, but Bafana in their own realm, you know, because for them, AFCON's a big deal. We don't expect them to go to the World Cup and win and do great things. But if they do it in AFCON, that's kind of our World Cup, because that's just who we are. We've got a ceiling. We've got to be honest with ourselves. We're not going to be world champions. We don't have the resources. Not at all. It's like
the bucks.
Like trying to win a Formula One in a VW Polo.
Yeah, it's not going to happen. Although someone drove past me in a VW Polo this morning. I thought, Jesus Christ, that must be a Formula One car.
You see? Stranger things have happened.
There's a ceiling, but that person's having their best. Okay, so that's what Bafana are. Now, of course, there is cricket on the go at the moment. It's the Women's World Cup T20.
Okay, do we care?
I don't even watch men's cricket, so.
Okay, so yeah.
So we'll move on.
That's happening. Okay. Yeah, the Women's Proteas, they will probably make a semi. They'll probably get out of their group.
Yeah, they will.
Yeah, that's a pertinent kind of point around women's cricket in general. But yeah, I mean, look, it's hard to be excited about cricket.
You know, we already have hockey for the lesbians. I mean, do we have to have cricket as well?
Well, there was traditionally the summer and winter sports.
Oh, so the same girls who used to play hockey.
That is so mean. So you think lesbians have just got one season in them? No, they play throughout the year, have you, Garrett? How dare you?
How dare you? All seasons.
Just to think that they're winter bodies. They also do things in summer. Very dare you. So there's no Formula One this weekend. There's the golf's kind of tapering off. There's they're playing in France. It's like the French Open on the DP World Tour. The PGA Tour right now is hugely boring, and the LIV Golf has stopped. So, yeah, you can watch the Proteas women. They play Bangladesh on Saturday at 4 o'clock. If you don't care about that, then you've got loads of endless football, or you've got the rugby in the URC. Okay. That's it. I mean, it's one of those
that's more, plenty.
More that's a lot. Lesser weekends.
Yeah.
All right, so somebody says, before Ben goes, this is Bitcoin Boats, before Ben, and you're only leaving just now, so we've got time.
I was told to be here till 8, I'm here.
Okay, good. Ask him about his experience of being in the middle of you and Ruda while you were being shat on for doing a Nigerian accent.
Ruda. Yeah, that was quite something.
Oh, yeah. I saw, that was a funny episode, Shem, that poor woman.
Well, I mean, she's come under a lot of criticism since then.
Oh, like, really?
Yeah, and I thought I would get the criticism, but she's the one who people have been piling in on, because I think people understand this is a funny show.
Yeah.
We don't take things seriously.
Yeah. It's a Friday.
And accents are not a mean thing that people are doing to.
And also, you had a good point, because it's not like you only do like a black accent. You do the accents.
In that same show, we were taking the piss out of like English people who go to soccer games and do, you know, all that sort of shit. Yeah. So
I don't know. If you're impersonating Arnold Schwarzenegger, you do that, right?
Rita came in hot. Did you give her coffee haze or something prior? What was in that cup?
Did she have something strong from the coffee station there, James? What, Ruda, when she came in? Because she came in hot.
She did. And it was awkward because I'm sitting here. We got our usual Friday banter on. And the thing is, it's your show. It's your interview. I'm not going to interject here. But she, like, I was trying to make light of it. But she was, maybe you know, there's a bit of sexual angst on the go here.
Sexual
I
angst.
Did pick that up a bit. Gareth, you're a bit of a heartthrob to that generation. Let's be honest.
Shut up, Joe.
That you know is what? True. No, that's not the truth.
No, please. So, Ruda. And I like Ruda. I've always had a very good time with her. She's been fun to have as a guest. She has insightful things to say. You know, she's quite a serious person. Yeah. She's not like the sort of person who just, you know, plays around with everything. And if she talks about something, it's something she cares about enormously. So she's a
respectable human being.
Right. And she's a deep, thoughtful person. But I think there's also something about that generation where they've just cottoned on now to what woke people started doing years ago. So they've cottoned onto that now. Now they realize there are points to be scored. I'm not saying this is the case for Ruda, but I have met older people who do this almost to kind of curry favor, to show that they're not old school, like backward, conservative, super closed-minded. Mm. They do this to kind of show that they're not.
Yeah,
I'm not saying it's her. I certainly, and I don't have any beef with Ruda.
No, but it feels like it's in that ballpark, though. It does feel like in that ballpark.
Mm. Yeah, it's like a trying too hard. So I'm going to put him in his place because he's politically
incorrect.
He needs to learn.
So it was the wrong context because it was, you know, you're being funny.
Was it uncomfortable though?
It was kind of
like, you did sit there like
a it was kind of uncomfortable animal. Because sitting in the middle is uncomfortable, actually. I mean, you're sitting here now.
Yeah.
May I point out, you're way more pleasant than Ruda.
Thank
but
you.
Also, when you've got to look left and right, like I always feel with Sandile on my show, he sits in the middle and it's quite tough. But at one point, I did want to take her on, but it's your show. And I know that you are going to say far smarter things than me. But she says English people are arrogant. I would say maybe lazy. But ultimately, wars were fought. The world is the world. And English is the universal language.
Yeah.
So cool. I get it. Like, I would love to be fluent in other languages to connect with people. But then there's other things in life. You can't be judged on that.
I grew up in Pretoria. I went to an Afrikaans nursery school. So I learned to speak Afrikaans at a young age. But I've always understood almost kind of below the surface. There are lots of things that happen in South Africa that people don't talk about, right? Afrikaans people have a big chip on their shoulder. And I know this is a generalization. I'm going to get some shit from some Afrikaans people.
Cheapest.
But I don't care because actually...
This podcast with a brand
this is true, so right? So a lot of Afrikaans people are very, very angry, even three generations later, which is why I understand how there are a lot of black people who are still very, very upset about slavery. And even though they're not living in it now. Right?
Yeah.
It's like a generational.
It's in the DNA, right?
So yeah, sure. You've got to remember that Afrikaans people during the Anglo-Boer War, that was where concentration camps were first put together. Mm-hmm. They were taken. My great-grandfather, Afrikaans guy, was taken to Sri Lanka and put in a concentration camp by the Engelse. And like you can tell that there is a certain kind of Afrikaans person who's just never moved on from that. And they're very angry with English people.
But then open with that, because I love history and I'll get it.
Yeah.
So she's I don't like you because your sort did this. And fair enough.
I just don't like it when people say arrogant. I've explained before.
And like, the way arrogant, she said it, it's like it's a... Oh,
English people are so arrogant.
It's I'm trying to do something.
But I don't want us to be beating up on Ruda. It's like this is a general conversation. Right. Yeah, when people say someone is arrogant, it's usually... Again, nothing to do with that situation, but it's usually because they are insecure around that person. Arrogant is a thing that South Africans, again, in particular, across the whole spectrum, English, Afrikaans, black, white, whatever, South Africans like to say someone's arrogant if they feel insecure around
them. Yeah.
Yeah.
Instead of saying confidence.
Exactly. I was like, it's a con for you. You're holding yourself confident.
A lot of people would think that you coming in here and sitting here and just like, shooting the breeze with us and talking nonsense.
Yeah.
They'd say, oh, you know, I like Shamila, but she's so arrogant.
She's so arrogant.
She thinks she's just part of the show. But that's the whole reason I want you here is because you're confident.
Yeah.
It's got nothing to do with arrogance.
Yeah.
So we could talk about anything. We can go from booze to sport to conversations about language, whatever. We can have these discussions and no one is busy calling the other one arrogant so as to create a hierarchy, which doesn't need to exist when you're having fun. You know, when you're friends with people, and I like to think that this show is about a community of people. It's like a tribe.
Oh, it is. Absolutely.
And we all take the piss out of each other because we really like each other.
Relentlessly.
If we didn't like each other,
it would be a different show.
Well, we wouldn't even gather here on a Friday morning, for example, and do this. We would find other things to entertain us. And I think some people are just not in that vibe. So I'm sorry you had to sit through it, Ben.
I just got to say, I mean, because I'm on the show because I like being here and I think it's a really cool thing that you say about the community, but I couldn't leave. So I was stuck there.
You were stuck.
And I was funny. But like to Ruda's point, I mean, we all find ways to get into other cultures. I feel like every brandy that I drink is like almost like a carbon point. You know, you get those pretentious people who say, well, I pay
my carbon tax.
So I mean, if you feel that way, then immerse yourself in someone else's culture, one brandy at a time. It could be something else. I don't know what else do you do.
We're back to booze, hey?
We've got to go back to booze.
I almost feel like we need to end this show with like just a massive
that's how you end the weekend.
All right, it's 7 o'clock. We got to take a break. We'll be back in a moment. Don't go anywhere.